గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవత్ మహాపురాణికి నితాయికో ప్రేమానంది హరి హరి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. దిస్ మార్నింగ్ వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 10 చాప్టర్ 54 chapter entitled The Marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, text 13 and 14. So text 13 is on the board, please repeat responsively. Shaureha saptadasha aham vai sanyogani parajitah త్రయః వింశతిభిః సైన్యైః జిగ్యే ఏకం అహం పరం శౌరే సప్తదశాహం వై సంయుగాని పరాజితః త్రయో వింశతిభిః సైన్యైర్ జిగ్యే ఏకమహం పరం శౌరే సప్తదశాహం వై సంయుగాని పరాజితః త్రయో వింశతిభిః సైన్యైర్ జిగ్యే ఏకమహం పరం శౌరే సప్తదశాహం వై సంయుగాని పరాజితః త్రయోవింశతిభిః సైన్యైర్ జిగ్యే ఏకమహం పరం. శౌరే సప్తదశాహం వై సంయుగాని పరాజితః త్రయో వింశతిభిః సైన్యైర్ జిగ్యేకమహం పరం. శౌరే సప్తదశాహం వై సంయుగాని పరాజితః త్రయో వింశతిభిః సైన్యైర్ జిగ్యే ఏకమహం పరం. శౌరే సప్తదశాహం వై సంయుగాని పరాజితః త్రయో వింశతిభిః సైన్యై జిగ్యే ఏకమహం పరం. మాతాజీ శౌరే సప్తదశాహం వై సంయుగాని పరాజితః త్రయో వింశతిభిః సైన్యైర్ జిగ్యే ఏకమహం పరం. శౌరేహ విత్ కృష్ణ సప్తదశ 17 అహం ఐ వై indeed, samyogani battles, parajitah lost, trayah vimshatibihi 23, sainyaihi with armies, jigye 1, ekam 1, aham I, param only. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarayinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: in battle with Krishna, I and my 23 armies lost 17 times. Only once did I defeat him. Purport: Jarasandh offers his own life as an example of the inevitable happiness and distress of this material world. Text 14: Tathapyaham na sochami na praharshyami karhichit kalena daiva yuktena janan vidravitam jagat. Translation: but still, I never lament or rejoice, because I know this world is driven by time and fate. Purport: having stated that the Supreme Lord controls this world, Jarasandha explains the specific method of control. It should be remembered that in the Vedic context, kala or time does not refer merely to a system of measuring planetary movements such as days, weeks, months and years, but rather to the way things are being moved. Everything is moving according to its destiny, and this destiny is also described as time, since everyone's destiny is revealed and imposed by the movements of time. Om ajnana timiranthasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namao Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shiradhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Quite a long pastime, beginning in the towards the end of chapter 52, and now we are in chapter 54. Same pastime continuing. So many speakers have spoken, almost all of our Radhana Swami Maharaj and all the senior devotees in Shishirada Gopinath Temple, Govind Prabhu, His Grace Govind Prabhu, His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu, Shyamanand Prabhu, all of them have spoken somewhere or the other during this past time. All of them are present here also. I don't know what I am going to speak. In their presence, they have covered it so nicely from various aspects. So I would like to beg for their blessings so that I may speak something for my own personal purification and as a service at the lotus feet of all the assembled Vaishnavas. And quite frankly, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular episode of Krishna, first of all Rukmini sending the letter to Krishna, then Krishna coming to kidnap Rukmini, and then the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, this whole pastime, I mean starting from chapter 52 towards the end, after the Muchkunda's pastime is over, from there till chapter 54, this is one of my favorite pastimes from 10th canto. Not one of my, it is my favorite pastime from 10th canto. And to just reveal you a secret, whenever I do night dressing for the deities, and whenever I get an opportunity to read Krishna book, invariably I open 52, 53, 54 to read for the pleasure of Radha Gopinath. So somehow today I have been asked to speak on this verse. So this is such an evergreen pastime. I mean, this particular story has been immortalized. Gaur Gopal Prabhu touched in his class how Bollywood, everything that we see in Bollywood, Hollywood, most of it has some aspects of this pastime. And this pastime people have been reading and relishing since so many centuries, and still it is evergreen. But unfortunately it is only among the devotee circle. I mean, in the outside world some movie celebrates 1,000 years of continuous showing at one theater. 1,000 weeks continuously playing in one theater, and that's a big event, a headline event in most newspapers. But this is thousands of years this pastime is being celebrated, relished. So even in this material world, if they can do that, so how much more we should enjoy and relish this particular pastime. So coming to this particular juncture in this pastime where we are right now, Krishna has taken Rukmini on his chariot and they are going towards Dwarka. The fight is over between the armies that have been assembled, and it's a very heroic thing, you know. It's not something hidden, like Krishna is not planning how I should go inside Vidarbha without anybody coming to know, and then somehow kidnap Rukmini and then take her back to Dwarka. No, this is not something like that. It's a very heroic thing he does. In fact, when Krishna arrives in Dwarka, King Bhishmaka and his ministers, they all go him to welcome him. They welcome him with all the proper upacharas and everything. So it's a well-known fact that he is in Vidarbha. He is here. And it was also a well-known fact that King Bhishmaka and the other four brothers of Rukmini, they wanted to give Rukmini to Krishna in marriage. But it was only because of the insistence of Rukmi, the eldest brother, that this marriage was being arranged. So in the presence of everyone, Krishna came and the speaker spoke that, not that, he just took and fled away very fast. No, it was all very heroically done. So now all these armies which were assembled, so these people also knew Krishna is here and he is going to try, definitely. So they also had come prepared with their armies. And in spite of all their preparations, they are now being defeated by Krishna. And in their defeat, Shishupal, who had already assumed that, yes, Rukmini is my property, he is so morose that he is being consoled by Jarasandh. So we see in the scriptures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam and so many scriptures, we see that, I mean, those personalities who play this role of villain, you know, taking the terms from modern day cinema, villain, so called villain, because in the Lord's pastime there is no villain, or I mean there is only hero, the Lord. Villain is like, you know, as we understand from the scriptures and from the commentaries of acharyas, that particular role is played by one particular living entity to give pleasure to the Lord in that way. So in that sense, that personality is also performing the will of the Lord. But still, in their role as villain, we see Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Ravana, Jarasandha, so many personalities. And these villains are not barbaric or totally uncultured like what we know about villains in today's day and age. These villains are actually studied, they have studied the scriptures and they quote scriptures. Many places we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu consoling the wives of Hiranyaksha. You know, Jarasandh is consoling now. And so many places, Kamsa speaks. So many places, they speak very shastrically erudite words, which stand up to, you know, the shastric standards, according to what is given in the Vedas. But still, as again, this has been explained in the previous classes, we don't quote these personalities, you know. We don't quote these personalities. Because even though they say shastrically, they still themselves don't have faith, or they don't have they exhibit, like in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he is consoling the wives of Hiranyaksha and he is trying to tell them how this body is temporary and ultimately the body is supposed to die and all that. But immediately after consoling them, what is his next move? He goes off to do tapasya so that he can get an immortal body. So that just shows, you know, that even though they mouth so many things, they don't walk their talk. They say so many things, but they don't walk their talk. So therefore, there is no conviction. Or so to say, there is no, as in Prabhupada has given us, so there is one very famous quote of Prabhupada, purity is the force. So when a preacher, as preachers, when we speak to people, it's not what we speak. It's not how well we quote certain verses, or how well we can quote specific lines from the verbatim, from the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Rather, it is more than what, it is how we say it, with what kind of deep conviction and personal practice we say such things. That is what transforms, that is what brings about transformation in the lives of people. Not that it will be totally ineffective, because ultimately even if you are speaking the words of scriptures, that will have some effect. But if you want really a forceful effect, then it is how we speak. So therefore, we don't quote. But I was reminded, reading these particular verses, where Jarasandh is trying to console Shishupal, I was reminded of another scenario also portrayed in Srimad Bhagavatam. where Bhishma Devi is trying to console Yudhishthir. Like we are reading here, you know, Jarasan, just now we read, Jarasan is telling, I defeated 23 times, with my 23 armies, 23 auctioneer armies I took, and I went to defeat Krishna, but I lost so many times. But still, after saying that I lost so many times, he again is, but I defeated him once. So I tried, and I ultimately ended up defeating him once. So again, rather than putting Krishna in the center is me. See how I defeated Krishna? You understand? So now you should also, don't worry now. Okay, Rukmini, he has taken Rukmini, but don't worry. Just understand this. Your turn will come someday. Don't worry. So he is consoling. But that is not the point. The point here is how we should put Krishna in the center. And this is like a eternal tug of war between Krishna and his pure devotees. The devotees' endeavor is always to put Krishna in the center, and Krishna's endeavor is always to glorify his devotees, to bring his devotee in the limelight. Devotee always try to go away from limelight, bring Krishna in the center. So this is very nicely exemplified. This is a very nice contrast between what Jarasandha is saying here. Jarasandha is talking, trying to console him and saying, see, I lost so many times, but still I won once. You know, see how great I am. And he, and in the, contrasting it with the pastime where Bhishma Dev is trying to console Yudhishthir Maharaj. So brief background is, Yudhishthir Maharaj is totally despondent after the Mahabharata war, and so many people try to console him, try to explain to him, no, you are not the cause, don't worry, it was not you, it was not you. So many people try to tell him, all the Pandava brothers, Vyasadeva himself comes and tries to console him, you are not the cause. Krishna himself tries. Krishna tries. But Krishna as Paramatma within the heart of Yudhishthir does not allow him to be convinced. Why? Because as I said, this eternal tug of war between Krishna and his pure devotee, Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev. So therefore, Krishna, even when he tries to console Yudhishthir Maharaj is not consoled. And then the stage is set for Yudhishthir Maharaj and Bhishma Dev to have a conversation, where Bhishma Dev, and actually this particular conversation between Yudhishthir Maharaj and Bhishma Dev is Shanti Parva. This is one of the, I don't know whether it is the biggest Parva, but it is one of the biggest Parva in Mahabharata. So people have this misconception about Mahabharata being all about war and fighting and all this violence, but one of the biggest Parva in it is Shanti Parva. This talks about peace. So this is like a 2 month long discussion between Bhishma Dev and Yudhishthir Maharaj. 2 month long. They discuss so many things. And Bhishma Dev says, you know, even if you read first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the first things Bhishma Devi says is, Aho kashtam aho nyayam, yad yuyam dharmanandanah, jivitum narhata klishtam vipra dharmachutashraya. He says, oh, what terrible suffering and what terrible injustice you good souls had to suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations, yet you were protected by the Brahmanas, God and religion. So in the Vedic scriptures, it is very clearly explained. Here he addresses the Pandavas as Dharmanandana, sons of religion personified. So in Vedic scripture, it is explained that Dharma Rakshati Rakshitaha. So Dharma is such a thing that somebody who helps in protecting dharma, in propagating dharma, that same dharma which he is protecting or he is propagating protects that person who is protecting and propagating dharma. Dharmo rakshati rakshati rakshitah. So they are sons of dharma personified, religion personified. And they are always serving brahmanas. They are always surrounded by brahmanas. Even when they were in exile, even when they are in exile in the forest, we know that famous story of Durvasa Muni. So that Akshay Patra story is there with Draupadi. So what they would do with that Akshay Patra? Nothing but serve the brahmanas. So every day they would feed so many brahmanas, even while they are in exile, even in the forest, everywhere. They just cannot stay. So they are with the brahmanas, serving the brahmanas. They are following all the codes of dharma. And Achyuta Ashraya, Krishna himself is there. Even Kunti Devi hints that we went through so many tribulations, but all those tribulations gave us opportunity to have your darshan. So Krishna was always there with them. So then, right at this, you know, juncture, in the initial start itself, Bhishma Dev is hinting that actually, what is the cause? Why you went through all this suffering? Why you are going through all this? Even though he is asking, he is saying that this is very bad, this is not something which should have happened, but still he is hinting at the cause. So we should see, the three things he is describing about the Pandavas. Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. Now, in our case, personally speaking about myself, these particular notions I had about devotional service, as soon as we come to devotional service, I should be free from suffering. Now, if we compare ourselves with Pandavas with these three benchmarks, Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. So, as far as following of Dharma, looking at my own life, I had any inkling that there are something called Dharma Shastras, you know, which give us codes about how to live our life. It is only the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that these things are revealed to me after I came in contact with his devotees. So forget about any proper following of any dharma. And then Vipra. So Janmana Jayate Shudra. Everyone in this Kali Yuga by birth is Shudra. So association of Vipras and serving them, that is an opportunity bestowed upon me only because of Prabhupada and this organization of ISKCON. Achyutashraya, that is a topic as far as I am concerned. Speaking about myself, I leave aside for now. So none of these things apply. So generally our mentality is that since I am a devotee, I should not suffer. But this is an indication of sakam mentality. Whereas devotional service should be nishkam. So because of sakam mentality, when something wrong happens in our life, which inevitably happens in this material world, in this Kali Yuga, we always have this question, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is this bad thing? Like here, Bhishma Dev is talking about, oh, what terrible sufferings and terrible injustice you good souls had to suffer. So they were actually good souls. But this question crops up in our mind also. Why this is happening? Like we have our Gita course, I think second day of Gita course, why good things, bad things happen to good people. And many times we also wonder why good things happen to bad people. I mean, bad people according to our perception. So the answer to this in Mahabharata, Bhishma Dev gives four reasons. And first reason is, he says time. Like generally, as I also mentioned, what to do? Kali Yuga. So time is one factor. And basically, even though time, here also we see, you know, everything is moving according to destiny, and this destiny is described as time. Since everyone's destiny is revealed and imposed by the movement of time. So when the time comes for a particular event to take place, that event will automatically, that event has to happen. And the time is there. Like, you know, classic sunrise, sunset. When that sunrise time comes, nobody can hold the sun under the horizon. It's not going to happen. Sun is going to rise. Day is going to pass. Every living entity, the bodies are going to get older and older and older. So time, in that sense, you know, is a factor for certain events to happen. But still, so many things happen which in our life, which we cannot, you know, totally explain away just by saying time. You know, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to our perception of why different people behave with us in different ways. So then, you know, that's not time bound. So time actually does not really explain everything. So then the next reason that Bhishma Dev says is swabhava or nature, a person's nature. So if we examine the cause and effect relationships in various events that happen in our life, what was the cause and what was the effect? If we analyze this relationship in various events in our life, then all events happening in our life are more or less a reflection of our own inner state of mind. Rather, we more or less attract these events. Like, classic example is that, you know, we have this saying, if you point one finger in one direction, we point one finger at someone, there are three fingers which are actually pointing in the right direction. That is towards us. So, analyzing the cause and effect relationship between events that happen in our life, we can understand that actually it is more or less what is our inner state of mind. Even in the outside world, there are these famous quotations. So, there is this very famous quotation, the world is a great mirror. It reflects back to you what you are. If you are loving, if you are friendly, if you are helpful, then the world will prove loving, friendly and helpful to you. So world is a great mirror. So our specific nature has got a specific ability to create events that we really want. And basically, this is somewhere linked to the thought that without problems, you know, in life there has to be some spice. Without problems, we will become very bored. Kuch to spice hona chahiye. So therefore, subconsciously, we start creating problems so that there is some excitement in our life. You know, subconsciously we start creating problems. Like, you know, some devotees, I mean, few years ago, we used to do this. Every Ekadashi, let us fast. Fasting, at least myself personally, fasting had nothing to do with, you know, like His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu, I remember one time, he gave a very nice class on Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi. And he said, Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi doesn't mean that, you know, you just fast. You know, fast from everything, no food, no water even for 24 hours. No. Yeah, fasting must be there, but there is feasting also on Ekadashi, especially Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi. Fasting is for the material senses, for the sense of tongue, for the sense of eyes, for the sense of touch, which, you know, demand gratification from us. So we have to fast. As far as these particular material senses are concerned, we have to observe fasting. But the spiritual senses feast on this day. So our sense of hearing will feast hearing the holy name constantly. Our tongue will feast upon chanting the holy name constantly. Our eyes will feast upon seeing the form of the Lord constantly. So constantly we will have feasting also. It's not just fasting. So that should be the right mood of fasting on Ekadashi. But personally myself, it was like some sort of a macho thing. Let me see whether I can fast. Kya hai? Dekhte na. What is the big deal? Let me fast. Kya hota hai? So I would fast on Ekadashis. I did that for a few years and then my body stopped supporting. It just couldn't, you know, I used to have bouts of acidity, this, that, and I had to stop fasting. So that was what I meant. Without problems, we'll become bored. So we create these problems, you know. Let me fast. I will eat only once a day. I will eat only twice a day. I will eat only this. You know, as if problems in this material world in Kali Yuga are less. We induce some things in our life more. You know, thoda or spice. So Bhishma Dev is saying, swabhav is the cause. Okay. So we accept swabhav is the cause. I am the cause of the problems. But then, why am I the way I am? Why am I, swabhav is like this? Why am I not different? Why am I not like a very sober, sattvic, you know, brahmachari who is very much focused on studying scriptures, focused on personal sadhana, serving the deities, serving the devotees? Why am I not like that? A more sober and a sattvic person. The mode of goodness. So then, the third reason that Bhishma Dev tells us is karma prarabdha. Our own karma, our own prarabdha. So there is there is a long discussion between Bhishma Dev and Yudhishthir Maharaj. So in that discussion, one nice story comes up about this Brahmani, a lady, Gautami. She is a widow and she has a small son, 10-year-old son. So this son, she sends out to get some flowers for puja. So when this son is gone out to fetch flowers, in that garden there is a snake, a poisonous snake. The snake bites the son and he falls down dead. So now this lady is totally distraught. At that time, there is a snake charmer around there who comes there. And he has this particular siddhi of chanting certain mantras by which he can put a spell on the snakes. So he puts a spell on the snake and then catches it and puts it in a basket and brings that snake to this lady. And she says, see, he is the culprit. This snake is the culprit who killed your son. So now you kill this snake or you burn this snake. I have brought the snake with me. Now you do something. So then this lady asks, will my son come back to life by killing this snake? No, that's not the point, the hunter says, the snake charmer says. It's not the point that your son will come back to life. But you will feel better. You know, you will feel because some justice has been done. The killer has been punished. So therefore you will feel better. So in this interaction, the snake says, but what is my fault? You know, my master is death personified and he instructed me to go and bite this snake. So in all this discussion, then death personified also comes there and he says that ultimately it is time, Kala. I am bound by Kala. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmi Sarva Loka Kshaya Krita. One of the very famous verses from Bhagavatam, even famous in the Western world, by Robert Oppenheimer. He described this verse when he first time saw the explosion of the nuclear test explosion during Manhattan Project, and he saw the explosive power of the nuclear atomic bomb, he described it as kalosmi. He was reminded of this verse. So even this death person, if he is saying, I am bound by time, why are you blaming me? So Bhishma Dev is also says that karma, prarabdha, is the cause of this suffering. Now this is a common explanation. But again, when we talk about devotees, this explanation will not wash. Because for devotees, there is no karma. For devotees, there is no karma. Lord Brahma himself says that karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam. So there is no karma for devotees. There is this story from the Ramayana. In certain versions of Ramayana this comes, where there was a king who killed a cow and he wanted to atone for the killing of this cow. So he was very, very much distressed and he went to an ashram. So when he went to the ashram, that rishi whose ashram it was, he was not there. So the rishi's son was there. So he said, he welcomed the king, made him sit down, and he saw that the king was distressed. So he asked the king, you seem to be distressed, what is the problem? So the king explained the problem to the son of the rishi. So he said, there's no problem, that's no problem. Don't worry, I can give you some, just chant the name of the Lord, chant Ram 3 times, and you will be absolved of the sin of killing the cow. So the king was also very happy. So immediately he said, Ram, 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 few more times, just in case, as insurance. 3 times the Rishi Putra said, but the king went on, chanted a few more times. And after that, while the king was leaving, the Rishi came back to the ashram. So when he came back to the ashram, so then the Rishi saw the king and he inquired, oh, you are here, sorry, I could not welcome you. What was the purpose? No, your son is a very intelligent person. Your son, I had this problem and he gave me this. So the Rishi immediately flew into a rage. He said, that rascal, he is an atheist. He doesn't know the power of the holy name. Why you have to take the holy name 3 times? Just 1 time chanting the holy name is sufficient to absolve you of all such sins. Why you have to take 3 times? He is a rascal. So all of us, we are chanting Krishna's name. Every day we chant 2 hours. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All of us chant for 2 hours. So then where is karma? There is no karma. So therefore, Bhishma Dev, in his explanation, he further explains very tactfully that actually it is Krishna only who is the cause of everything. Actually it is Krishna. And Lord Brahma, who doesn't know the first verse of Brahma Samhita? Lord Brahma declares it so loudly for everyone to know. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. So Bhishma Dev says that ultimately it is Krishna who is the cause of all this suffering. But why Krishna? Why is Krishna doing this? And how is Krishna's how is Krishna's love manifest through these problems or through this suffering that I am going through? How can we understand the plan of the Lord behind everything that happens in our life? How can we understand that this is why bad things happen in the life of devotees? That it is Krishna himself. So most of us know this first verse of Brahma Samhita. Problem is we just cannot digest it. Now it's something which is very difficult to digest. Why will Krishna want this? If we say karma, but still it is, when we say karma, it is still acceptable, because you cannot pinpointedly, karma means, okay, my karma, maybe in some past lifetime, maybe during this lifetime, which I don't remember,
कभी तो किया था, कुछ तो किया था. वी कैन नॉट जस्ट एग्जैक्टली पिन पॉइंट एंड से यस दिस वॉज द पर्टिकुलर एक्शन विच आई डिड एंड बिकॉज ऑफ विच दिस इज द पर्टिकुलर रिएक्शन दैट आई एम सफरिंग. सो इट्स अ लिटिल वेग एंड एम्बिग्यूअस. सो कर्मा एज अ रीजन फॉर वाई वी आर सफरिंग इज एक्सेप्टेबल. बट वेन वी से नो अल्टीमेटली इट इज कृष्णा, सर्व कारण कारणम कृष्णा, देन इट बिकम्स रियली टफ टू डाइजेस्ट. अरे आई एम वर्शिपिंग, आई एम डूइंग डिवोशनल सर्विस. So for devotees, it is not karma. We cannot karma is not an acceptable answer. It is Krishna. It is actually the personal, merciful involvement of the Lord Himself in the life of each and every living entity, specifically in the life of His devotees. And how do we understand this? Why would Krishna want to, like, even, you know, in this material world, of course, more and more it is not like that, but we could see, even in this material world, we are loyal to some person, we are faithful to some person, we are working for some quite a long time with, you know, under some person. There is a bond of love, the bond of attachment. Then definitely the person who with whom we have this bond of love will not think ill of us. So how do we understand all the tribulations, all the trials, all the miseries that devotees go through are caused by Krishna? Because for devotees there is no question of karma, suffering because of karma, suffering, the sufferings being their prarabdha. No, for devotee it is Krishna only. It is the personal merciful involvement of the Lord in the life of the devotee. So as in the Mundaka Upanishad, it is very nicely stated that the living entity as well as the super soul, the Lord, are always traveling through all the various species that the living entity is going through. The super soul, the Lord, is with him and they are traveling together. The Lord is just waiting for the living entity is busy enjoying the fruits of this material world. Lord is just waiting for this living entity to turn back and glance at him once, to extend his helping hand, to extend his mercy towards him. So, why Krishna, you know, we can say it's easy, very easy to say sitting on the Vyasasana, it's a personal merciful involvement of Krishna in the life of the devotee. But we have to go to Chaitanya Charitamrita to understand. Of course, this is, you know, why Krishna causes certain things to happen, which the living entity feels is a hindrance, is an intrusion, an imposition upon him, rather than understanding it as a personal merciful involvement of Krishna in his life. Living entity, because of being focused more on personal sense gratification, personal aggrandizement, rather than the satisfying the senses of Krishna, giving happiness to Krishna, because of such focus on the wrong things, even though somehow, As it is said, Guru Krishna Kripaya Payek Bhakti Lata Beach. Somehow, you know, Brahmande Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jiv. Guru Krishna Prasade Payek Bhakti Lata Beach. Somehow, due to reasons which we cannot fathom, we have got this opportunity to engage in devotional service in this lifetime. But we don't know, I mean, we have not totally grasped or totally comprehended what we have come across. Apne haath mein kya aaya hai? We have got a very precious jewel. We are not able to understand it. What this is. What is its value. And because of that, in spite of having such a valuable thing in our hand, we are still focused at some other things. Some other things in life. Like, yes, just yesterday I had this opportunity to speak with His Grace Nanda Dulal Prabhu. So he showed me a letter of one person. Is from the United States and he works for a consulting firm in the construction industry, and here he is currently based in Mumbai for since the past few months for construction of a huge tower. So that person, I mean, there is he stays in one of the 5-star hotels, and one of our devotees who is in the 5-star hotel, he works in that, I don't know how that, but he is there in that 5-star hotel, and he regularly gives out the journey home to people whom he feels might be interested in the. He just gives out. He doesn't charge them, he doesn't expect something from them. Just takes, he says, you may like this book, take this. So this person got this journey home and he read it. And after reading it, I was supposed to bring that letter, I forgot it, it's in my locker. The kind of words he has written a letter to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and he's talking about, I have wasted my life. My 53 years of my life I have wasted. And not just wasted because I did not engage in your devotional service. That's not his focus. His focus is because I have wasted my life because I have not used this life to help others. Now that's taking one step ahead. Generally, at least speaking for myself, the focus is, you know, by performing devotional service, okay, I will not have to take birth again in this material world. The focus is more my own center. What is the need for me? But this person, just by reading this one book, he is talking about, I have wasted my life. Not that because I have not performed devotional service, because I have not done something for others. So he is taking it one step ahead. Such a mood of compassion. So this particular, when we are talking about how to understand that this is Krishna's personal involvement in my life, these particular various events that are happening in my life. So again, I'll just briefly conclude with this from, how I understood it is, Krishna says, very famous verses from the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay sukh, amrita chhadi vishay mage ehi bada murkh, ami vigya ehi murkhe vishay kene diba, swacharan amrita diya vishay bhulai ba. So this is really hope-giving and one of my very cherished verses. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, whether knowingly or whether unknowingly, whether he knows that he is performing my devotional service, whether he does not know, but if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time, which is the case in my case specifically, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment. Somebody is engaging in devotional service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia. Amrita chhadi vishay mage. He is very foolish. Ehi bada murkh. He is giving up nectar, he is giving ambrosia to give up, to drink poison. But Krishna is also like our father, supreme father. So generally we have this experience that when we are in a family where we have father and we have like 3 or 4 uncles. So we know whenever we need something like ice creams or chocolate or this that, kids know. If they go to their father, very little chance that their desire will be fulfilled. But if they go to their uncles, most of the time the desire is fulfilled. Why? Because the father always looks for the long-term happiness of the child. So father is concerned for the, I'm not saying that the uncles are always not concerned about that, that's not the point. Just I'm using this as an example. So father is always concerned about the long-term happiness. He understands that, okay, now I can give him chocolate and all these things, but it is going to cause him trouble later. So in order to avoid the later trouble which is come, which the child won't understand now, child doesn't have the capacity to understand that he is from a foresighted vision, he is not giving me this. Child only thinks I want this. Why is he not giving me? If he loves me, why doesn't he give me the chocolate? Why doesn't he give me the ice cream? We have a loving relationship. Other time he loves me so much. So why is he not giving me chocolate now? I am worshipping Krishna. Why is he not doing all these things so that I can enjoy material opulence? Because Krishna knows that ultimately in the long run this is very harmful. And Krishna, as I said from Mundaka Upanishad, is waiting just for this particular living entity to turn to him. And that is when we begin our Krishna consciousness, we have turned toward Krishna, but we don't know what we have started. So in our hand we can only start that process. But how it ends will be determined by Krishna. Krishna determines how that process ends. He will take it to its natural conclusion. And that is at the lotus feet of Krishna, as one of the particles at the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the natural conclusion. He knows how to do it. We only have to take that first step of turning towards him. After that, he will take. We may go through so many ups and downs and everything, but all that is the personal, merciful involvement of Krishna in our life. So Krishna is saying, I am Vigya, I am intelligent, I am not a fool. Why should I give this foolish person poison when I can give him the ambrosia, the nectar of my lotus feet, shelter of my lotus feet? And what is the special quality of this nectar of this lotus feet? It makes the living entity forget the illusory material enjoyment. So charanamrita diya vishaya bhulaiba. So therefore, from this perspective, if you see, we can see in the lives of so many devotees, even in the Bhagavatam, there is this famous verse, famous line that Dhruva Maharaj says, Swamin Kritartosmin Varam Nayache. Very classic case. You know, very classic case. He prosecutes devotional service on the advice of his mother, not for devotional service, not to get pure devotional service, not to become a pure devotee of the Lord, but with a clear focus that he wants a kingdom which is much, much greater than his great-grandfather. Kingdom which is much greater than Lord Brahma's kingdom. That means practically kingdom which is much greater than this whole entire creation. So his focus was very clear. But the only place he erred was, he was properly guided. So again, that's how it is. He went for that to Krishna. And when he prayed to Krishna for that, when Krishna is actually standing in front of him and asking him, okay, ask what you want, he's saying, I am fully satisfied. I don't want anything. Swamin Kritartosmin Varam Nayache. I don't want anything. I am happy. That's it. I am fully satisfied. So therefore, in the life of the living entity, when we take shelter of pure devotees, when you take shelter of these books, when you take shelter of the words of Srila Prabhupada, then we will be able to understand that how whatever things which are happening in our life, they may be apparently, we may feel that this is something which is, why is this happening with me? But this is happening because it is the desire of Krishna. And how it is the desire of Krishna and how it is ultimately beneficial to me, in the sense that it is beneficial to me in my progress towards Krishna. This we will be able to understand only when we take shelter of these books of Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is. And not only we take shelter, but we help others take more and more shelter of this in the form of distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books in this month of Srila Prabhupada's book distribution marathon. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. If anyone has any comments, I'm sorry, I just went over a little over time.